Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. Today we have a very special guest with Martin Munoz, the Kids Count Director at Voices for Children Utah. Today we'll be talking about the education crisis nationwide and its state-level impact, as well as some proposed solutions to that crisis. Martin, thank you again for taking the time to come call with us.
No, thank you, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to share about the Kids Count National Data Book.
So jumping right into things, in the press release you guys set out, it said nationally that only 1 in 3 children are meeting reading standards in fourth grade, and that 1 in 4 eighth graders are proficient at math, and 30% of students are chronically absent.
Yes, the Kids Count National Book Data Book comes out every year. It's a product of the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and we are the partnering organization of the Casey Foundation here in Utah. Yeah, the numbers are pretty, you know, they're very concerned and scary. We know a lot of it. We're seeing effects. This is definitely effects from the pandemic. And I could say, you know, I could say Utah overall, we tend to do well, you know, ranked wise. But if you dig into that number, that's when things get a concern. Nationally, like you said, the nation saw a chronic absenteeism of around 30%. Here in Utah, we were not that far below from the national average. We were at 28%. And as you dig deeper into that number, we then see our minority students with a higher percentage of a chronic absenteeism. You see in our Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander communities an average of 52%. Our American Indian and Alaskan Native students at around 49%. And the Latino students are at 37%. And when you're considered as absenteeism is you're absent, without permission for 10% of the school year, of more days of school. So, you know, this overall it will have an effect on kids as we, in our state, you know, Utah touts being such an economic success, but an education, I think, is such a vital resource that we can, you know, make sure our kids have here in Utah that is going to have an effect on our economy down the road. Being able to have a workforce that is well-educated, well-prepared to enter that workforce. There's a lot of concerns. You know, even though Utah for years has been ranked in the top 5, so we have some work to do, and even, you know, we can always do better. That's the biggest thing.
So kids in Utah, like you mentioned, are faring better than their peers nationwide. 63% of fourth graders although 63% of fourth graders aren't proficient in reading, 65% of eighth graders aren't proficient in math, and like you brought up, 28% of students are chronically absent. And kind of going back to the COVID issue that you talked about, we really are seeing a huge increase in these numbers due to COVID. I mean, we're seeing the effects of these younger generations having to deal with that through some of the key developmental times in their lives.
Yes, and I think one of those, that key measure is we could do much better in is preschool. We here in Utah, we are just, you know, we are hovering just below 60% of our 3 and 4 year olds not attending some type of preschool, and how such a benefit that could have with for children. I'm a product of the Utah school system, born and raised here in the state, and I had my struggles, and I didn't have there wasn't the opportunity for me to, you know, go to preschool, struggled through school all my life, you know, and I, you know, found out at 42 I had dyslexia. So this is something very important to me, you know, education. I just really, truly believe that, you know, education, a good education, a quality education is one of the most valuable tools we can give a kid to their toolbox of life. Those challenges with our proficiency in both reading and math, I really hope our policymakers see those numbers and realize, you know, we need to invest more in our kids. We need to invest more in our education system. And, you know, you're going to always hear them tout about how efficient we are with what we do spend and how well we do. And that's the detriment of these rankings is that they're, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, we're doing okay. But no, if you dig deeper into this, you know, look at Utah. We're such a well economically successful state and our unemployment rate is very low, but still we have 17% of our children whose parents lack secure employment in a state with unemployment, what, roughly around 3% to below 3% and well below the national average. So yes, those are concerns. And our policymakers, we strive to help provide this information and promote this, the Kids Count National Book, so policymakers, parents are aware of what's going on and they can also advocate for their children and their community to say, hey, we need help. You need to start helping our kids. You need to start investing in our children. They're the future and it takes a community to raise kids. And this is why we do what we do to advocate and to help legislators produce good policy that's beneficial to everyone.
And then kind of looking at some of the other metrics that the study uses, looking at child well-being, which Utah ranks third in the nation, and they rank sixth in the nation in health among all states. But it also shows that Utah was slightly above the national average of 30% on child well-being, but kind of marks disparities that affect students of color, kids in immigrant families, and children from low-income families who are attending low-income schools.
Yes, yeah, and we're, you know, that's definitely a concern with, you know, the effects. You know, we have several communities, I would say, you know, right off the bat, I could think of two school districts. They're minority majority, Salt Lake City School District, Granite School District, and these are two of the largest school districts, some of the largest ones in our state. And, you know, you dig, like I said, when you dig deeper into that chronic absenteeism, and you look at even with the number of our Pacific Islander community, you know, overall Asian Pacific Islander, roughly 35%, but 52% of that 35% are kids from Native Hawaiian and Pacific and other Pacific Islander community. So we need to go into all of our communities. We need to go in, work with the communities, find out what are the struggles for them, ask them to share with us, to share with policymakers, because it's going to take boots on the ground in a way of it's time to start asking the communities what they need. And because they have the answers to the issues and their struggles and their problems they're facing. That is the most important thing we can do as a strategy, as a solution. And I feel my responsibility is with the struggles facing kids is to provide that vital data to policymakers and help get that information to parents, guardians of children. Work collaboratively with our partners, agencies, and community groups to find solutions to the issues. It's an important aspect, I believe, is, you know, to be involved with the community. Ask the community what do they see as the answers and solutions to the struggles that are facing in their part of the town, in their part of their community. You know, they are going to be the most vital source of information for us to face these challenges together as a community.
So, and kind of looking at those proposed solutions in your time working, what kind of things have you heard? What kind of proposed solutions have been thrown out there to help aid this education crisis?
That's several different, ideas are proposed, trying to find, but currently, if you look at the environment here in Utah and the push for vouchers, it's concerning because that is now going to pull more funding from our already, in my opinion, is not well-funded education system. And we need to make sure that priority one is we fully fund education in the aspect of we know our students, our educators, have access to all the resources they need, plus that our educators have all the assistance they need. And, if we can decrease our teacher-to-student ratios can help, assistance in the classrooms, but then also more opportunities, like with this chronic absenteeism, where are these kids? What's keeping them from attending school? And I believe that we need to, definitely invest in and have our state look at opportunities of, wellness check-ins on these kids. Obviously, we know who they are. They know who the students are enrolled and that they're missing. Why are they missing? Asking them, why are they not in school? Asking their families, why aren't they in school? I tend to think, off the bat, one, assumption to myself and that I think of is especially we look at our communities of color, our children from community colors of color and minority communities, are these children absent due to the fact that they may be having to help out the family either financially by working or having to take care of younger siblings because parents are working 2 to 3 jobs? There's so many questions, but the solutions are they're just barely touching, and we need to initiate more. We need to invest more in our education system. We overall for well over 2 decades have been at the bottom of per pupil spending. And, that's not working. So let's start investing in putting more money per pupil into our kids.
Well, Martin, we are almost out of time, but is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
All I would ask is to take advantage of this information. Check it out. You can access the entire report through our website, utahchildren.org. It's Voices for Utah Children is the organization. The Kids Count 2024 Kids Count data book from the Annie E. Casey Foundation is part of the Kids Count Project every year. Such a vital report that's put out every year to learn a lot. And its biggest focus is to see how children are doing. We can do better. We can always do better. And if there's any way that Voices can help in your community, please feel free to reach out to us. We're here to help. That's our priority one. We want to help families. We want to help communities get the research they need, get the information, the data, and help to advocate and utilize this data to advocate for their kids, advocate for their community. And anytime, any assistance we can offer, we're always here to help at Voices Utah Children.
Well, thank you so much again, Martin, for coming to sit down with us. Again, that was Martin Munoz from the Kids Count Director at Voices of Children Utah. And for KOAL News, I'm Aiden Mortensen.